Jack, you ready? Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be together again. We're thankful for Zoom and even this remote way we can be together. And our burden during this time of being separated in meeting in this through the computer in this distant way has been to have a short message. And this short message was to be encouragement to God's people during these difficult times. So the burden that I've very much impressed on my heart is the Lord's encouragement in difficult days. And this all comes from the whole chapter of Luke 21. I'll just read a few verses to help us to get familiar with the tone of chapter 21. Look at verse 7. This is speaking of the disciples, by the way. And they ask him, saying, "Teacher, when then shall these things be? And what is the sign when these things are going to take place?" I want you to notice very much those two questions, when and what. They're at the heart of the message. Verse 9, look at verse 9. "And when you shall hear of wars and tumults, be not terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end is not immediately." Verse 10, "Then he said to them, nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be both great earthquakes in different places, and famines and pestilences. And there shall be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things," well, let's stop at 11 and then go to two more verses, verse 25 and 26. "And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roar of the sea and the rolling waves." Verse 26. "Men ready to die through fear and expectation of what is coming on the habitable earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much we could be together this morning to remember the Lord, how precious it is to be gathered with the brothers and sisters, and how grateful we are for your word. Without your word, where would we be? And as we consider this thought of your encouragement in difficult days, we pray the Holy Spirit would anoint. We know you alone have the words of eternal life, and we look to you to quicken us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I won't get any disagreement from you all that we're living in difficult days. This coronavirus has, if you can imagine, if you can just imagine, the whole world shut down. I think these will be days we will relive with our grandkids, and they won't heartily believe it. They'll say to you, "You mean they closed all the schools? You mean most of the businesses were shut down? You mean you were in your home for months?" No one will believe it. These are indeed difficult days. There have been many deaths, historic days, unprecedented anxiety. But how thankful we are that the Lord has a word for us in difficult days. Today, as we look at Luke 21, we see a great unveiling of how difficult days were. This is called, by the way, for those of you that don't know, for context, the Olivet Discourse. You can read the Olivet Discourse in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew 24, and 25, Mark 13, and here in Luke 21. I've chosen Luke 21 because I think it says some emphatic things about the Lord's encouragement. These are difficult circumstances for the world and for the Lord's people. And this word in Luke 21 is a comprehensive word. It begins with forecasting the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and it goes all the way through the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the establishment of the kingdom of God. What a comprehensive word that is. And it is laden with tremendous difficulties and problems. Many call this the signs of the times when they read these verses. These are especially cataclysmic events, I think, when you read Luke 21. But I think the verse in 26 that we read tells us how strong, how difficult these days are. It has this incredible phrase, "For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Can you imagine? You remember that anointed and not an anonymous writer of Hebrews said, the Lord said, "I will once again shake the heavens and the earth." And what we've experienced is incredible shaking. I like what Brother Graham Scroggie said about this explanation of these events in Luke 21. He said, "In forecasting the future, Jesus did not paint a golden age, a rising race, a world fit for heroes to live in. No, he talked of deceivers, wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, persecutions, prisons, and although these things are not all, yet the fact of those things and all shows us the world is wildly astray from God and proves the necessity for Christ's return." Yet, brothers and sisters, these are the facts. If you want the facts, Luke 21 and those other two places where the Olivet Discourse is explained, you see horrendous circumstances. But brothers and sisters, this is the burden the Lord has laid upon my heart. I believe embedded in the middle of all these circumstances are words of great encouragement, words of extreme encouragement, words of profound encouragement. There is a higher message than the message about the difficulties, the pestilences, the wars, the rumors of wars, the persecution, the difficulties. All those things are there. The Lord didn't gloss over those things. But what he did, in fact, is bring encouraging words to those his own so that they would know how to live in these days. The thing that caught my attention, first of all, were the two questions by the disciples. Now, we know that from Mark's gospel that Peter and John and James and Andrew were the ones who asked these questions. If you look at Mark 13, verse 3, the questions that they asked were what, when, let me put them in the right order, when and what? Those are the obvious questions. When you hear about these dilemmas, when you hear about these difficulties, these are the obvious questions. Lord, when will these things take place? And what will be the sign of these things? Those are obvious. Matter of fact, they looked at the outward and they considered the obvious. When this Olivet Discourse starts, it starts with those disciples looking at the beauty of the temple and seeing the stones, and they say, "These are goodly stones," and all the beautiful things the temple is adorned with. So the disciples saw the outward, and the disciples asked the obvious. And what the Lord did in his mercy was he answered their questions in a prophetic way. Maybe it's a cryptic way to you. Maybe he didn't come right out and say, at this moment, this will happen. But he did, in his mercy, answer their questions. And more than that, embedded in those great dilemmas, he offered to them the greatest of encouragement. The important question is not when and what. The important things, brothers and sisters, for believers, are not the obvious thing. The Lord must have shocked them. He said, a day is coming when not a stone shall be left upon a stone. That was what he said. They must have been stunned. Their whole life revolved around the temple. And to think just in 70 AD, a short years, all of this would be in ruin must have been a great shock to them. Brothers and sisters, I believe there's a much deeper message embedded in this chapter. I believe the when and the what are important, but they're not the most important. And I think the most important thing that we need to know is the how and the who. Those are the important questions. What the Lord brought out to these disciples in this most horrific moments that were coming upon the earth was what you need to know is how to live. What you need to know is who is the one who lives in you. If you know how and who, you can overcome even in the most difficult days and hours. This, to me, is the message of Luke chapter 21. Now, I think the Lord gives abundant encouragement when you read these. We'll talk about a few of them. You may have more, but I believe the answer the Lord gives is a fivefold answer. It's a complete answer. It's a perfect answer. It tells us who believe on this earth, how do we live in these days? And it tells us the source that we live through in these days. And if we know that how, and are not just focused on the outward, and if we know that who, and are not just focused on the what and the when, then I believe we can live in these days, in victory. And that sweet aroma of Christ we talked about will flow out from us, his people. I like a hymn very much, Francis Havergal's hymn, Live Out Thy Life Within Me. I don't think we sing that enough. When I travel and speak, places sing this hymn more often than we do. I would like to put in a request that we sing it more. I believe this is the who. Live out thy life within me. The first stanza starts, live out thy life within me. That, I believe, is the secret. O Jesus, King of kings, be thou thyself the answer to all my questioning. That was the answer. They had questions, profound questions. What and when? But he's the answer to all of our questionings. He is the how and he is the who. Now, I'd like us to think about these fivefold things, at least in brief. I know our time is limited. The first one, you'll look at verse 28, and it says, and he said, see that you be not led astray. The King James Version says, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am he. Now the he is in parentheses. They will say, I am. They stole the Father's great name that was given to Moses. I am. And the time is drawn nigh. Go ye not therefore after them. I believe this is the most important encouragement he can give us in difficult times. Because there will be days when believers will become deceived, going after teachings and men and ideas that look right and thoughts that even appear to be Christian. And he said, go not after them. I am the who, Christ alone. I love what Austin Sparks used to always say. He would say, it's not Christ plus, and it's not Christ minus. It is Christ alone. He is the answer. And that is what he brings out here in this chapter. You know, the world and Satan love to deceive. And when they deceive, their deception is to always take us away from the person of the Lord Jesus. Overcoming in difficult days is simple. If our focus remains upon the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone, we will not be deceived. I think that's the great secret that he brought out. You remember Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means is the serpent deceived by his craft, so your thoughts should be corrupted from the simplicity of the Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's so easy for believers to fall into things, to look in other directions, to look for other answers, to look at the obvious, to look at the outward and miss the great secret. The great secret will remain Christ alone. Just look at him. It can't be any more simple than that. Paul's testimony in Philippians 3:10 is profound to me. I shared it Wednesday night, that I may know him, as it says in the King James Version, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. This was the secret of the Apostle Paul that, as we read 2 Corinthians, took him through major difficulties, cataclysmic struggles and trials and perils. This one secret alone was enough. Be not deceived. Go not after them. Brothers and sisters, there is one antidote to the deadly virus of deception, and that's looking unto Jesus. It's the only secret you need to walk in victorious life, to walk and overcome. You don't need many things, but this is essential, and this is the reason the Lord Jesus said, this is first. You, my own that I love, that I care for, that I'm leaving, be not deceived. And the second thing he said to him, I think it's the second part of that fivefold secret, is he said, be not terrified. How easy it is during these days of so great difficulty to be overwhelmed with fear. Look, I'll read it again. Verse 26, this is the power of fear. Men ready to die. Through fear, an expectation is for what is coming on the habitable earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Fear is the most crippling contagion. If you are a believer, there's no more crippling contagion than a spirit of fear. Thank God we can say he has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what Paul said to his dear son. We aren't given that spirit of fear. And this should be the encouragement to us in these days. I think of 1 John. You know these verses 4, 18, and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, for fear has torment. Now, anyone that has been gripped by a spirit of fear knows what that's like. It's tormenting. I speak from firsthand experience. It's crippling. It's paralyzing. And yet, we have reason not to fear. It says we love him because he first loved us. We know the one who is perfect love. We don't need to fear because he hasn't given to us that spirit of fear. We don't need to fear because we know the very one, the who, that is perfect love. All he's trying to say to these dear ones in those dark and difficult days is to focus on the who and the how. Now, I know you all know Psalm 23, verse 4. As a matter of fact, Jeffrey mentioned it in both of his sessions on Psalm 90 and 91, and Matt mentioned it also on that word about he is with us. And when you think about it, this was David's great secret. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And if that's all he said, there would be eternal loss. And he said, "Because thou art with me." That's the secret. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Brothers and sisters, the reason, the hope the Lord brings in difficult days is I am with you. There's no reason to fear. You remember the word that came to Moses and Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, and that beautiful word that says, "Fear not, for I am the one that goeth with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you." That was the encouragement to Moses as they prepared and as Joshua prepared to enter in and take the land. The cure of all fear is because he is with us. Brothers and sisters, I think this is so important. This is what we need to know. This was the how. This was the who. This was the critical answer in a time of great difficulty. The third thing is persecution that produces testimony. Make sure you heard all of that. Not just persecution. The Lord talked of grave persecution. And I think every one of you will agree with me that we're living in days of increased and unparalleled persecution of individual believers and the church. But I think what we see here is something tremendous. Look at verse 13 in this chapter. When he's talking about persecution, this is the embedded hope. "But it shall turn out to you for a testimony." Isn't that wonderful? In other words, the encouragement the Lord brought is whatever you go through, whatever you experience, will produce in you a living testimony. That's the hope. And that's what it means in the book of Acts when he told them, "Go and wait until you are endued with power on high, and you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to Judea and to all parts of the earth." Brothers and sisters, this is the answer. How wonderful this is. It's producing in us testimony. Don't ever forget that. Everything you go through during these dilemmas and these difficulties and these trials, one word he had for his own, it will produce in you testimony. Can there be a better word than that? It has an effect. It does something tremendous that ease could not do. I remember always one of the first messages I sort of bungled through as a Christian was David's great word, "In pressure, thou hast enlarged me." What is happening in these days of difficulty and in these generations of difficulty is God is producing in us a living testimony. To me, that is so tremendous. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "But we know," thank God it starts that way, "but we know all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose." Because if you read after that in verse 29, what he is doing through everything is conforming us to his image that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. That was the explanation of the Lord to his own in these difficult circumstances. And when you look at verse 18 in chapter 21 of Luke, there is a most precious verse. The Lord didn't have to say this, but in this cataclysmic persecution, he said this, "And not a hair on your head, and a hair on your head shall in no wise perish." Isn't that mercy? It doesn't matter what you go through. You may not believe me, but believe the Lord. It doesn't matter how dark the days get if you're his, because not a hair on your head will be lost. This is precious. This is precious by any means. And there's another phrase in verse 19. "By your patient endurance gain your souls." Now, many believers, I think, don't even know what that phrase means. When they think of the saving of our souls, they think of being saved from hell and living for eternity. But I'm so thankful we have heard things from Brother Nee and Brother Stephen and Lance and Austin Sparks and many that have told us the salvation of the soul is much greater than that. In the end, all that you go through is to produce in you the saving of your soul. Now, that's not saved from hell. That's saved from self. And that means Christ, through these most difficult circumstances, is you are conformed to Christ. Christ is manifest in you. Out in that moment, that sweet aroma, that sweet fragrance comes out. And that is the who, and that is the how. Remember, Peter said in chapter 1, verse 9 of his first epistle, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of the soul." There was a fourth thing the Lord gave as encouragement. It seems to be most simple on the surface, but it's so profound when you think about it. Look at verse 28. He said this, "But when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." This was the great secret the Lord shared to his own. What is our natural tendency if we only look at the outward? If we only want the facts, the what, and the when? We will look down in despair. Our head will droop. And our shoulders will fall. And our knees will weaken, as it says in Hebrews. And we will be in the slough of despond. But brothers and sisters, there's one recipe for overcoming the difficulties. And that one recipe, the Lord said, "Look up. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh." These were the words of encouragement that were embedded in these words of great calamity. May the Lord help us. This one, let me put it strong as I can. This one response will transform your circumstances. This one response. May the Lord cause us to look up. You remember Job. He went through the most difficult circumstances that any could imagine. I don't think anyone would argue with me on that. And it says in Job 21, verse 19, when he was in the heart of the trial, he hadn't gotten to chapter 42. It wasn't the end of the trial. He was at the beginning of the trial. He was in the fire and he was overwhelmed in unbelievable difficulties he was going through. And he said these wonderful words. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, that's the Lord's advice to us. Look up. Don't look down. That's the secret. How we need to know that secret above everything else. And then finally, the Lord said several things together which were of tremendous encouragement. In Luke 21, verse 33, you probably know this verse. The heavens and the earth shall pass away. Now, if you're looking at the obvious and the outward, that's all you'll read, and it'll be full stop. If you're focused like the disciples were upon, can I say, the wrong thing, that's all you'll read, and it'll be over. But then he says, but my words shall in no wise pass away. Brothers and sisters, can you think of a greater how? Can you imagine that the Lord of glory has left us his word, and it's not an impotent word? It's a word full of life. It's a word full of power. It's a word that can transform us and change us and conform us to the very image of the Lord Jesus. This is his encouragement. I have left you my word, which cannot and shall not pass away. He went on to say more after that. I think this is a lot of our problem in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest possibly your hearts be laden with surfeiting and drinking and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly unawares. I think one thing that has happened to many of us while we were living in relative ease and even luxury compared to most of the world is that the cares of life can so easily overtake us. Those obvious things. Those outward things we give our attention to, and they become our life. How do we make a living? How do we raise a family? How do we do this? How do we do that? And the Lord said, don't be concerned just with the cares of life. If you do, you can take you out. That day will come upon you as unaware. Because this was your focus rather than the how and the who. And he said one more thing in that last, that fifth admonition. He said, watch and pray. Don't ever doubt the power of prayer, brothers and sisters. The key to surviving in difficult days and even coming out victorious in difficult days is a simple recipe. Watch and pray. You may think, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, pray. You may think, well, I can't. All I see are all these bad things. Well, just watch him. Look to the who. Don't look at the what. Don't look and say, when is this going to happen to me? Don't look at outward things and be overwhelmed. Look up. Watch and pray. We may even pray in our weakness, Lord, we don't know how to live. But you can watch and pray and say, Lord, you said you are the life. That was the secret that he was sharing with his disciples. We may not know the way. We may see a way that is full of darkness, but we can pray and we can watch and say, Lord, you said you are the way. Show me yourself. It is the secret. You may say, I don't know what to think. I'm overwhelmed. I've never lived through things like this. But then you can say, Lord, you said you are the truth. Show me yourself. This was the word, I believe, the Lord brought to his own. If you want to be ready for the Lord's coming, it is a simple recipe. Watch and pray. You remember Brother Kong's burden that was so alive for these recent years? Are you ready? The way to get ready is to see how he does it, to see who he is, to watch and pray. And if you do these simple encouragements by his own life living from within you, then you will be ready. That's the secret. This is the how and the who. This is the encouragement the Lord gave in the darkest of circumstances. Thank God he didn't tell just about all the troubles. He gave the secret. And if you have ears to hear, you can hear the secret. And you will overcome even in the darkest of hours. Shall we pray? Lord, we are so grateful that you tell us the way. We're so grateful you show us that you are our life. We're so grateful you're the truth. We're so grateful that in the darkest of times you have the most encouraging words to your own. And these are the secrets on how to live and who we live through. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, again and again for the Apostle Paul's declaration in Philippians when he said, for me to live is Christ. There is no greater secret, and there's no clearer way than that. All these thoughts we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.